Let's pray to open our time at looking at the scriptures this morning. God, I thank you that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us, and I thank you that we can learn from you today. We do ask for help. We just stop and say we don't want to be distracted by our thoughts or the thoughts of humans. Lord, we want to learn from you. We believe there is a God. We believe, Yahweh, you are the God, and that you want to connect with us. You want to communicate with us today, and we thank you for that. Help us to be attentive, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me set the stage first before we dive into this. So we're in a series right now we're calling Lost to Leaders. Lost to Leaders. And a part of the purpose of this series is to further clarify, why do we exist as a church? And we had kind of just gone through a little bit heavier time in the Bible in talking about the why, God's purpose, and God's purpose for us in life in general, for us to be alive, sucking oxygen on planet Earth, but also God's purpose for the church. So we've just gone through that. Now what we're trying to do is clarify in more specific language, how do I know if my involvement, you can say this for yourself, how do I know if my involvement with this church is working? How do I know? How do I know if it's achieving its purpose? And this is both how the leaders of this church, the elders, myself, and the dream team, the core group of adults that are involved in helping lead this church, this is what we set out to do. This is the filter that we have. This is how we evaluate every activity, Sunday morning, life groups, everything that we do. We have a filter. How do we know if it's working? Okay? So now by it, we're talking about the scriptural purposes that we've already talked about. Now we're talking about evidence. Some of you remember when we've talked about salvation, evidence, you remember what evidence is and is not? Evidence of your salvation, for example, is not a to-do list. It's not, oh, I've got to work harder and do 1, 2, 3, 4 to prove that I'm a better person. It's really important that we're clear about this, or this time together is going to be counterproductive. Evidence is not a to-do list. What it is a result. How do people usually describe wind? They describe wind by the evidence. I see the trees blowing. I feel it against my face. I see the tumbleweed going down the street in the cartoons. You know, whatever. That's how we describe wind, by the evidence of the wind. Right? So Jesus, and we've talked about this at length before, and the writers in the New Testament talk a lot about, don't try to do Christian before you be Christian. Right? It's a state of being. And when in this series, we are talking about clarifying the wind and understanding, how is the church being successful? How am I and my interaction with the church being successful? Is it moving into a bigger room and having more people attend the show? Oh, gosh, just I want to go throw up. No. I feel like I passed some of you. Did you catch what I just said? How do we know if the church is being successful? Is it that more people show up to the big thing? No. No, it's over the course of their life, as we get to know each other, as we do life together, do life in groups, is there a change? Well, how do we clarify what that change is? Right? So you see here in our basic sentences, our purpose is in our Connect, Grow, Share, helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. That's our purpose. Now, you remember a month ago when we talked about moving into the bigger room, and I asked you, how many of you know someone that you're praying for, that you're reaching out to, that you would like to bring to church? And we added up the number. And the number of people in this room that they are praying for totaled 93. Now, on that day, there were more than 50 of us in this room. We look around the room, there's not room for another 93 people in this room. Hello? Let's do the math. So we got to move into a bigger room to make room for them. Right? But why are we doing this? What's God up to? Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus' simple words. What's the most important commandment? To love God with all you've got and to love others. And then Jesus' word, to go and make disciples. It's a very simple filter. Now, how do I know the who, what, where, when, how, why? What's the simplification of that for every person in this room? Am I helping other people into next steps in a growing relationship with Jesus? If we're going to simplify our connect, grow, share, simplify it, it's next steps into a growing relationship with Jesus. Now, how do we see evidence that someone is in a growing relationship with Jesus? Okay, what's our evidence? Evidence, one, intimacy with God. And that's what we're going to talk about today in the 15 minutes I have left. Community with insiders. Am I growing in these areas? Am I growing in relationships with other believers? And influence with outsiders. In other words, do people who are not yet believers look to you, ask you questions? Are you having an impact on them? This is evidence that in my life, I'm taking next steps into a growing relationship with Jesus. This is evidence that my, meaning you, personal interaction with the church is accomplishing its purpose. Is that helpful? We need to know. Are we failing? Are we succeeding? And how do we know if we don't describe it? Is everyone with me?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I think I need to pass out some coffee just for the last 15 minutes. Okay. Psalm 139. Let's read it before we have to close in prayer. I'm reading from the New Living. It's a Psalm of David, so this is David writing, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those that hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This psalm is beautiful. It's, you know, we have two brand new babies in the church. One will be here, another one will be here shortly. It's even quoted in cards that are often given at a baby shower. This is a psalm that I think, honestly, we could read every Sunday for a year and get more out of. I honestly, when I look around at the problems in our neighborhood, in our city, and I think about what's going on with the individuals that are involved with those problems, I think everyone in this city would benefit from a, wait, stop. Be reminded that God has thoughts about you. I don't think there's a person in this room that wouldn't benefit from that. Wait, stop. God has thoughts about you. Good thoughts. There's so much we can take away from this psalm, but I want to talk about it in a way that I don't hear often talked about, and that is that this psalm cannot be written if it is not written by someone that is displaying the evidence of intimacy with God. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. God knows everything about everyone in this room. It's like this whole lost to leaders idea. We can feel that we are far from God. We can be lost and not know it. Hello? And then we can discover that we are lost and not know how to figure out where to go or how to become found. We can be unaware that God knows us in this kind of intimate way that David describes. But when we become aware that God knows us in this intimate of ways, it changes us. Hello? You know, last Sunday we were talking about, and you know, you can listen to the messages on iTunes and on our website to, you know, get caught up, but we were talking about how it is a relationship. And like a marriage relationship, the relationship isn't growing and developing if you're not together. And by that, like physically together, talking, listening, being together, where the relationship is growing. Mark Twain said, true friendship is when silence is comfortable. You know, when you're just getting to know someone, a coworker, someone that's going back to school or whatever, it's someone that you don't really know, and you're hanging out and you're waiting for the bus or waiting for class to start, and you kind of feel that need to kind of keep the conversation moving. That's how you don't know someone very well. You see, you know, a couple that's been married for a long time and they're walking somewhere together and they're just comfortable with silence. When we first start to realize that God knows us and knows everything about us, it's uncomfortable. Right? Because we know us and we've got junk that needs to get worked out right. Hello? We know what's going on in our mind. We know what we do when no one else is paying attention. Hello? So when we first start to realize that God is aware of us all the time and knows what's going on the inside of us, it's uncomfortable. But when do we come to a place of repentance? What does that word mean? That means I turn around. I was going this direction and now I'm going this direction. When I turn to God and I start to give myself to God and give myself fully to Him and start to say, like David says here at the end, God, search me and know me. Look for things in me that you don't like. Then becoming aware that God is aware of us is no longer uncomfortable. Are you with me? That takes time. You know, we talk about it on a regular basis, but I want to bring you to a place of reminder. Intimacy. Into me, you see. When you open yourself up to another person, when you open yourself up so that person can know you, really know you, not what the show that you put on when you were dating, not who you were pretending to be when you were engaged, but when you've been, you know, like Rebecca and I married 17 years, when you've stopped pretending, when you are real and yet open and yet asking them, look at me and tell me what you don't like so that I can change it because I love you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down. Is anyone with me? That's the kind of marriage that's described in the Bible. That's a sermon for another day. Look at me. What is it that you don't like that I can change for your benefit? That's where you know intimacy is starting to happen. Into me you see. Not and beyond the shell, the wall, the fake, the plastic mask, the whatever it is I put up that I want other people to believe about me. How do I know if my involvement with the church is being a success? Well, I know when intimacy with God is growing. I'm not talking about you becoming perfect. We're not talking about you, oh, you know, I've been with the Lord 15 years. You talk to guitar players, they say it's not the years, it's the hours. I think the same applies to our relationship with God. Building a history with God, like Kristen talked about, is not about, I've been a believer for X number of years. Building a history with God, what she's talking about, because I know her and her story, is about how much time you are spending just you and God. And what develops during that time that you are spending just you and God. See, if all I do is check off the God box in my brain and show up to church and do the things that are expected of me, but I am not logging time alone with God, then I'm not growing in intimacy with Him. It's not about, are you reading this book? Are you in this Bible reading plan? It's not about, do you do it the way that I do it? It's between you and Him. I cannot answer for you the specifics. I can give you suggestions or principles or show you methods, but I cannot give to you the specifics of what God is asking from you. But when you get alone with God, when you turn off everything with a screen, when you turn off everything that's making noise, and that includes people and good people that are in your life, you sit down with a Bible, with a pen, with paper, you can get past the uncomfortable stage to a stage of intimacy where it's good, where it's sweet, where it's wonderful, where it's addictive. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone in this room, have you experienced this? Where when you get alone with God, that TAWG, that T-A-W-G, my time alone with God. Have you had your TAWG? My time alone with God. When you start to log some time alone with God, where the relationship is growing, where the relationship is alive, where the relationship is developing, I don't have to go beyond Genesis to see God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, and David's words in Psalm 139 to see a very crystal clear evidence that God wants a personal relationship with us. This whole religion relationship thing is not a thing that churches should say to try to attract you because you, oh, I don't like religion, but I like Jesus. No, no, no. It's a Bible principle. It is clearly illustrated through all of human history. Even in the history books after Scripture, we see evidence after evidence that God is desiring a personal relationship with us. So you have to come to a point of salvation, right? Being born again. After a point of salvation, the relationship can go through difficult times. You ever had a relationship that goes through a hard time? We can lose capacity. We can lose a certain amount of ability to be with that person, to be in relationship with that person. We can develop rocks in the well. Yeah, none of us drink out of a well anymore. So you don't think about this example, so I'm going to use an old example, okay? So let's just say we were still living in a time where you had to go out behind your house and dig until the water was worth drinking. Right? So here we have a picture of a well, but really one that's just decorative that's got a bunch of rocks in it. When I think about 10, 11, 12-year-old boys back in that time, I'm sure they did a lot of running around and dropping rocks into wells. It just sounds like fun. When you get rocks in your well, the well of your relationship with God. Let me back up a little bit more modern example. Some of you, not all of you live in this neighborhood. We do. You're driving around this neighborhood, you may see evidence, as is the case throughout Baltimore City, of the city working on the water mains. One of those things is these really weird hoses up on the sidewalk that are the water supply for those houses. It's bizarre. But it is one way they deal with replacing the water mains, the pipes underground that have been there for a long time. Remember, Baltimore was the second city to reach 100,000 after New York City, one of the oldest cities in America, rebuilding infrastructure. Now, what happens if I go running along and break the locks on that above-ground hose and turn the water off to those houses? Yeah. We don't like to be disconnected. Disconnected from our Wi-Fi, disconnected from water. But when we allow rocks into the well of our spirit, we are reducing our capacity for a relationship with God. This is a functional reality that David went through, and I want to give you five, and in 60 seconds, what to do about it. Okay? Halt. Hurt, angry, lonely, tired. Wait, that's not five, it's four. I'm sorry. Make up your fifth. Hurt, angry, lonely, tired. Has anyone ever been one of those? I would venture a guess that all of us would register with at least one of those right now. Hurt, angry, lonely, tired. Now, we put them in this order because that's what you're supposed to do as pastors, do stuff that's memorable to people. Halt. Why do we say halt? This is an old preacher trick. If you are all five, it's time to stop your normal life and do something about it. Five. Four. If you're hurt, angry, lonely, and tired all at the same time, it's time to stop. It's time for a timeout. It's time for rest. It's time to get friends around you that don't drain you down, but lift you up. Get some time alone with God and do something about it. Because if you are all four, your life is about to change whether you like it or not. Hello? My intimacy with God can't grow if I don't make a decision. Listen, we all busy. But you're going to do what you want to do. Are you any amens on that one? You have to make a decision. Let's take a right in our Bible. Let's close with reading Philippians 4. Not the whole chapter. Gepsi, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And if you're wanting to prepare for next Sunday, you can read this chapter and also read Colossians chapter 3 if you're wanting to get ready for next Sunday. So I'm on page 959, Philippians, Paul's letter to the believers, just like you, in the city called Philippi. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 6 and read through verse 9. You okay? Don't worry about a thing. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace. Who needs God's peace? You're facing a challenge that you don't know what to do about. Don't worry. Pray, tell God, and thank Him for what He has done. That's a pattern for God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Live, that's a progressive, ongoing, not a one-time decision. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix. Remember a couple weeks ago with the ball, we were talking about that focus issue? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you've learned and receive from me everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Remember, he used to live among them, taught them the ways of Jesus. And here's a punchline. Then the peace of God will be with you. When it's time to halt, or in any one of these areas, to stop and ask, why am I hurt? God, what do you have to say about it? You need to make a decision. Some of us need to stop today, shut out everything in our life today, and spend some minutes where there's no time on the clock, right? Where there's no expectation. You don't have to be anywhere else. Everything with the screen is turned off. And say, God, what do you think about how I'm feeling? How am I feeling? What am I angry about? I need to tell Him about it. And then thank Him for the good that He has done. And then fix my mind on the things that are good. Are you with me? See, intimacy with God is not just a warm fuzzy sitting in a room. It's action. It's an action movie. It's something where you do something about it. Now, life is best when lived in community, and we need to be in community with each other. I'm going to stop there. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. I'm already a few minutes over my time. God wants to have a personal relationship with you, and He wants it to be a personal relationship that's growing. It's a continual process. It's not something where you arrive. Can I get an amen? Amen.